Mr. Sommer, I've heard many people here this year at Rome say that this is an end of an era, that there is a new economic order, not just, of course, with FAO, but the United Nations. Do you see any dramatic changes in direction regarding FAO under your leadership?
The World Food Conference, which met last year because of the food situation, has clearly indicated that we have entered in an era of a food crisis. We can notice from time to time food shortage due to bad climatic conditions in one area, another area. We have seen the problem of Sahel, the drought of Sahel. Even this year we have a food crisis in USSR, which has called for a large import of cereals from USA. Should the bad crop have occurred in India at the same time, and a need of an import to India of 10 or 12 million tons of cereals would have been in a very serious food crisis. I think from now on we should expect any time in any part of the world a bad crop due to climatic conditions, and I think the life of the humanity is going to be marked by this problem, continuous problem, which will lie ahead of us, because it is this race between the increase of population and the increase of food production. The World Food Conference has given some figures to illustrate the importance of this problem. It was indicated that by 1985, the developing countries will have an annual deficit of 85 million tons to 100 million tons of cereals. Should the trend in the food production continue as it is, the same percentage of increase, and also should the increase of the world population remain also same proportion, the same increase as it is now. Therefore, there is a great effort to be deployed by developing countries to increase their food production, because should this amount of food needed by 1985, it might be that very well that even the exporting countries will not be able to meet this very high demand. And this also will cost between, if we consider the actual prices, between $16 and $20 billion, which constitute a drain of large amount of foreign exchange from the developing countries. So the situation will be dramatic if no important changes are taking place. I think that the World Food Conference was very wise to launch the idea and to make a firm recommendation, more than an idea, for the creation of the International Fund for Agricultural Development. It is the agricultural bank for the third world. Of course, not on the same conditions as the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development. And this creation of the bank implies that the mobilization of the financial resources for agricultural development in the strategy of increasing food development is having a very high priority. And I fully agree with this approach. And I think that FAO should mobilize its efforts to help the establishment of the bank. We have all reason to believe that the fund will be established beginning of this year. There have been several meetings among developed and developing countries. Capital, as you know, of the bank has already been decided, $1.2 billion. And this bank is likely to be located in the first stage in Rome. And I also welcome the idea because there should be close cooperation with FAO. This will be a sort of FAO's bank. We have been until now selling slogans, distributing documents and publications, and saying that you should develop irrigation, you should increase fertilizer, etc. But the government are fully aware of what they have to do, what they need are the credit, the financial resources, on a without interest, free of interest, or even as grants, on concessional basis, and on easy terms, and a procedure which could be also quick procedure, because with the World Bank it takes too long time, and as far as the World Bank, there will be no competition complementary with this fund. I hope that this fund will be created, and FAO should do everything, also it's a government decision, to stimulate its creation, and then FAO could and should provide to the, as I say, World Bank of the Agricultural World Bank of the Third World, the technical services to help to identify a project, to prepare feasibility studies, to make the evaluation of the feasibility studies for agricultural development, and also to control the implementation once credit has been granted to the government. We have a similar agreement with IBRD, and I want to straight forward to talk about it, because you may ask me, well, you have with IBRD, FAO IBRD cooperative program, is it on the same line? Well, we say no. I am not personally satisfied with the relationships which exist with IBRD as far as this our cooperation in preparing feasibility reports for agricultural development. We are not on the equal foot. We cannot take any initiative. We are providing ancillary service. And this agreement, which now has been signed 12 years ago, should be reviewed. There was a joint team from FAO and IBRD to review the relationship between IBRD and FAO. But we hope that this International Fund for Agricultural Development, the relationship will be quite different, and it could be accepted that FAO will provide the technical expertise and be able, FAO, to help developing countries to get the funds. This is one of the new dimension I would like to suggest to the government to be given or taken by FAO. I think also there is another dimension which is required. You notice that I'm not talking about priorities, because for me it's all slogans that we have to rename an activity which we have been carrying out since many years. And so we rename this activity, and we say we are going to put emphasis and appoint one or two more professional and have one more publication. I am not interested in making this exercise of saying, oh, for so many years FAO has not been paying sufficient attention to irrigation work. They are just one expert, another expert in FAO. I am talking about new dimension for FAO. The second new dimension is that FAO should have the possibility to be operational, to have in its regular program funds which will enable FAO for urgent and quick technical assistant work to provide from its own budget the expertise required, even sometimes some equipment. It is impossible to accept the idea that the technical assistance, agricultural technical assistance funds, are to be solely located and centralized in one place in UNDP in New York. We should be able to have a small amount in FAO to be able to take some urgent action, to prepare a longer-term program, technical assistance program, which will be financed and carried out by UNDP, to be complementary, it will be modest compared to the $100 million technical assistance which we are receiving from UNDP to implement projects in the field. It is similar, if you wish, to also, to some extent, to WHO. WHO has two budgets, one for operational activities, one so-called for regular program. Regular program means that with the budget, we pay 80% of the budget for our staff, salaries, and the rest go for the printing, for the publications, for the meetings, but not to buy a screw for a country. If the extra of a few is in a country, if they need a screw for a tractor, we have to go to UNDP. So WHO is more autonomous than FAO. They have this possibility, and I am not looking to have something as big. I am not yet also studying or telling how this should be, whether it should be by increase of the budget or by reduction or in the budget or transferring funds, cutting some activities, or by creating a special fund which can be funded by voluntary contributions. This is a question to be discussed later on. You can see now, it will be maybe it's already known, that there is a deficit in UNDP of $80 million in their budget, in their liquidities, and because of inflation, and we just came to know about it, and we have been asked by UNDP to stop some activities and technical assistance, so we have no control on this money, and I will say that because the urgency to have such kind of possibilities from our own funds to send immediately to a country who has had some problem of typhoon or catastrophe, to prepare the studies and the information needed by the World Food Program to intervene, or by UNDP later, or by the International Bank, it's very much needed. I am very much shocked to see that in a budget of one, as you, we were saying before we start this interview, of $168-67 million, the contingency is $50,000. How a director general of FAO can run an organization when each dollar is earmarked for a pencil for everything, and he has just $50,000 as contingencies? This comes from the fact that the member countries have been less and less confident with the management of FAO, have been very much suspicious, and the program, the finance committee has been very tough with the management, asking to justify every dollar, every penny. I hope the vote of confidence, which I have received yesterday, will allow me to get also the confidence of the government in making some change, let them accept some proposal as to have a contingency of 5% or even more, 5-10%, as it exists in the private and even in the public sector. And maybe this amount of money could be also the amount of money which is needed for having some flexibility, some autonomy, because now, really, we are impotent because we cannot have sent the expertise. We have to rely on UNDP, and UNDP is dealing with the government. We are just something between. We have no possibility to put in contact governments and the bank, because IBRD is such that it deals with agriculture, with industry, with all various sectors. So those two new dimensions to FAO, the have a bank near FAO in Rome, possibly, with very close links, and FAO being the technical advisor, and not to be compared with the being technical advisor of the IBRD. IBRD has a huge department of agriculture. We wish the new bank will not have also technical staff, let us say, if this is possible, acceptable to the government. And also, as I said, have some autonomy, and if we want to provide some technical assistance quickly, not to go through the big process. And maybe another idea which I want to propose also, it's not an idea, I feel that we have to imbue a new spirit of FEU. We have to have a rededication to the task, to the ideals which were at the basis of the creation of FEU. After 30 years, we need a spiritual bath, if I can say, and this Babel Tower, which includes people from 130 countries and 6,000 staff, we should try to, again, provide them with this missionary spirit. But missionary is a bad word because it means colonialism, with a spirit of dedication, because we are aid-giving organization. And if our staff does not have the motivation, they cannot really deliver well the goods. I think that there is time to now, with the help of the old senior staff and the staff, to rededicate ourselves to the task and to the ideals which were at the basis of FEU.
Will you forgive me, sir, if I say that I have a marvelous background here, but in this interview I need about a 5 or 6 minute news interview. Mm-hmm. Could I put that question to you and sort of ask for a minute or so summary, because basically you'll be making the yes. For getting, in fact, greater flexibility, will you?
Yes.
And the spirit of rededication. And then if I could press on
yes.
with these other ones?
Yes.
Could you summarize for us, sir, how you feel... Sorry?
Yes,
you'd
yes,
like
yes,
to?
No,
right?
no, go ahead.
Could you summarize for us, sir, how you feel that FAO should be given a new... beginning to its second 30 years of existence, because perhaps at the end of this 30 years we see an end of an era. How do you see the beginning of the new one?
I think we have to revive the spirit which has inspired with the creation of the FAO. There is a need to rededicate ourselves to our task, to fully realize that it's aid-giving organization FAO, and it has been created to help people in the third world. So there is a need to imbue not a new spirit, the spirit which has existed at the beginning among the staff, and to fully realize that they have a task of helping people. It is not a public or a private organization. This is one thing. This is the beginning. The spirit should be there. The new spirit, the good spirit, the spirit of dedication. Two, a new dimension, which is to FAO playing an important role in mobilizing financial resources for agricultural development for the developing countries. Through the association with the International Fund for Agricultural Development, and through also cooperation with the regional bank meant for developing countries for financing agriculture and other sectors, like Kuwait Fund, which is not devoting a sufficient percentage of its activity for agriculture. So we could help the Kuwait Fund, and I know, because I have received the support of this country, that they are willing to get more cooperation. So what exists should provide more funds to agriculture and a new bank for the third world. Another dimension will be to provide FAO with funds in its regular program for a type of technical assistance which is not covered by United Nations Development Program.
Give us an example.
Example, we have a crisis, a drought like in the Sahel. Instead of going to UNDP with all formalities, the government addressing themselves, and because UNDP is not providing FAO with the amount of money which can be used in such occasion, we should be able immediately in 24 hours with our own funds to send a mission to the field of 15, 20, 30 people with some equipment to identify exactly the magnitude of the problem of the crisis. And for mobilization of such a large team, and we don't have in our budget. It's not foreseen. We have a huge budget if compared to the contingency we have. We have $50,000 contingency, something like that, for $167 million of budget. This is something which is unusual and should be corrected.
So you're asking really for the member governments to have faith in you as the Director General and as a new Director General, and faith in the organization to give you more autonomy to act without going through the bureaucracy that has perhaps slowed FAO down in the past.
Yes, I have to gain the confidence I have to deserve the confidence the government they have placed on me. And you have heard yesterday the statement which were made by the leaders of every region, that it is not that they are elected me and pay support on the 10th of November, but it is for my terms of 6 years that they are pledging support during this period. And I feel confident that with sincerity and the government will be able to accept my suggestions, which will be, of course, placed for their approval.
Now, many countries have referred to you constantly during the first 2 days of this conference as the developing countries candidate. In what way is this significant? Have the previous directors general let down the developing countries in some way?
No, maybe this is because I belong to developing countries, that my candidature was sponsored by the developing countries, and because I was getting the support of the majority of the group of the 77. Yet I should say that I enjoyed also the support of European countries and also to some Latin American countries. And it was obvious after the first ballot that the important developed countries have themselves played an important role in making this consensus around my name. This indicates that I was also very much acceptable to developed countries. But now I am, of course, Director General of all nations.
Now you mentioned the group of 77, the most needy countries, so-called, and there seems to be an increasing emphasis, not only in the United Nations agencies, but in many countries, including my own in Britain, to channel a greater proportion of aid towards this group. Now, this is obviously a very compassionate thing to do, but do you think that it's a wise use of rather scarce resources to pour money into countries that have virtually no infrastructure, whereas there are countries that could make perhaps better immediate use of such technical aid?
To this question, I will say we have to, of course, respect the democratic process, that every country should have its share of the aid, even it does not have the possibility of making a better use than the other country. So there is first the principle of democracy, that we cannot leave out some countries because they cannot make the best use of the small resources we are providing them. And I don't think that we should do everything in parallel. We cannot take a decision in a very dogmatic way. We should always deal on a pragmatic way. And on a ad hoc basis, the most seriously affected countries have received a special program which was financed by voluntary contribution, so they did not take anything from the side of the other developing countries.
A previous Director General commented, I think, on one occasion that the Director General and the FAO could only do what its member nations wished them and permitted him and them to do, or it to do. It would seem that FAO, from your earlier statements, could do with having, if I may quote, more teeth. Can you foresee a way of getting yourself more teeth to both influence directly the people who are receiving FAO aid and those people who are donating the aid?
The Director General of FAO is a man. He is a man, and he communicates with people. And he may be a personality who can convince the people, who can have inspired leadership or not. So the personal factor plays an important role, certainly. And I should say, I have confidence that in view of the fact that I have been able, coming from a small countries who had was still in a civil war since 7 months, having the Ministry of Foreign Affairs almost closed, to be able to carry out such support from various sectors means that I have been able to convince governments and people in governments, and I hope this support I have received on personal basis in many cases will continue. I have confidence to convince people. I have when, of course, the heart and the brain are in full harmony, you can always be able to convince the people.
So you're saying that you'll get the teeth if you deserve it, eh?
Yes.
Well, I hope that you manage that. Thank you very much.
Thank
Mr.
you.
Sama.
Thank you.